Mr. Hager, you were discussing the philosophy and the rationale, the raison d'etre of the Advanced Concept Center here in Westlake, and I wonder if you could expand on that a bit.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is look into the future for directions that will be usable directions for the corporation. We're concerned right now with the personality, the image, the individuality of future vehicles. As you know, on the roads right now, you can see vehicles that not only in our corporation, but other corporations are very generic. They look alike. So our thrust is to free that up, carve out new personalities that can be used in distinct market areas. And as I said earlier, GM used to put together market production runs of 300,000-400,000 units, up to 500,000 units for a single model. Mm-hmm. That time is gone, so we have to deal with smaller markets, and we have to differentiate those markets. So each vehicle has to be totally different. Now the other thing that we're working on that's very interesting is how we get there. We've designed the same way for 40 years, and that's perhaps why our lead time is so long.
Still very long.
We're looking at new ways to do things with electronics. We've been close to USC Film School. We've been close to George Lucas viewing Pixar visualization. We've studied holography. We're in the intergraph computers, and we're finding ways to cut lead times. And we've even come to the point where we are examining how management, in some cases, makes decisions on design and how we can improve that process. Again,
you're here for unexplored.
Yeah, well, it's stepping on someone else's toes, and yet, if there's something that can be learned or there's some tools that can be used to guide that decision making, it should be looked at before we get snowed. First of all, there has to be a recognition that there might be something different and an easier way to go, and that we've covered that. Getting into
changing the mores and the customs of the car culture, you're at this center.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, the interesting part about that is that a long time ago, as a young man on the West Coast who started designing cars, and he got to be so good and so famous that one of the Fisher brothers brought him back to Detroit and made him start a new industry. And then Harley Earl built that in industry, and here we are, round circle, right back again here. There is inspiration on this West Coast.
And he must be smiling somewhere.
Oh yeah, he's Jesus Christ, look what I did. I have wrought.
What took you so long?
Right. So, yeah, I'm sure he's smiling someplace. There's an atmosphere of car feeling, and I know that sounds very unintellectual, but there's a spirit here that you just can't find. You can find in some parts of Europe, Turin especially. It's there, you know, you can pick it out of the air.
Yeah. Well, everybody else is here. You obviously are not alone in thinking this. All the major companies are here.
Right.
They're establishing think tanks, although I suspect you don't like that term.
No, I think think tank is appropriate. I don't mind
really
that at all.
Your intellectual concern as well as a marketing.
Yeah, right, it is. Again, a societal analysis input gives a certain insight on what's going to happen in this area in the next 10, 20 years. The Pacific Rim theory, the influx of ethnic communities rubbing against each other, retaining their ethnic. Is that pronounced? And yet being American, American enough to spread that culture through the rest of the country, Midwest, which is very interesting.
The whole thrust of your operation here is still with automobiles. You're going to stay on the ground for the foreseeable future.
Right.
You're going to make them more easily drivable. Are you looking toward the ultimate consumer operation where he doesn't have to do much more than think?
We've looked at that, but there are two sides of that. Let me explain. You know, the oil embargo came, and corporations are caught with their pants down because either they're building large cars, small cars, funny cars, sports cars. They had no variety. I think what we can define here is several possibilities that may happen in the future. And the wise corporation won't put all its eggs in one basket. I think what you've got to define is if you want a high-tech vehicle, you've got to find out, okay, that's fine. You can do a Cadillac Aliente, $50,000. But what happens if there's an oil embargo and things go to hell and suddenly you don't have much of an audience? You'll probably sell all the Alentes in the world. But is there a thought for a low-tech vehicle? Is there a thought for a fun-type thing that is minimal transportation? A commuter, if you will, a Fiero minus or something? I think that all those ranges ought to be studied and evaluated. I don't think that we should just do that one thinking car.
What about in terms of shape? You can go lower, you can go rounder, you can go. Where can you go in terms of design shape?
I really think that there's going to be more input on the functional aspect of vehicles. What we see on the highways now, people spending 1 to 2 and maybe 2.5 hours going to and from work, mm-hmm. in their vehicles. In California, at least, right. There are sound boxes with good visibility. Then there's also the crowd that wants a real macho vehicle. There's also the crowd that wants something very handling conscious. And yet they all come together on the highways doing the same task. That reveals... Yeah. And now you're catering to an ego. It seems that we have to be aware of that and then design towards that end. Now that's an evasive answer, but it's a flexible answer because it'll change. Damn thing will change every year or two.
You don't have the attitude now in Warren where Hank and that little bunch of space cadets out there, they're all flying around in the wild beyond. They're not really being realistic. That's not.
Oh, we have some people who feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, we hear that all the time. And, right now there's so much work in the whole industry that there's very little attention paid to next generation advanced products. And that's where I think the thrust should be right now.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't all be all high tech, because just like the instrumentation, we've gone from analog to digital,
right.
And then CRT tubes and everything else. And when you look at what a Ferrari or BMW is or Mercedes is, it's still analog round dial, and the Japanese are coming back there.
Are they?
In some cases, they have options now because people are upset with a lot of these flashing lights and things.
Mm-hmm, right.
So we're tracing that too. And again, there are opportunities for vehicles that are obvious. And if you go too far out and do a lot of space cadet work, you may miss the obvious.
Mm-hmm. And your feet are firmly on the ground.
I think we have to be.
Yeah.
We're also doing short-term marketing work here.
That's interesting.
With a California...
It has marketing concept.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and we're working with the Chevrolet California Marketing Organization. I'm a member of that. And we're tuning specific models of Camaro, IROC, and Cavalier, and... S10 pickups and other vehicles for the dealers here, complete with advertising. We have an agency working with us, and it's regional advertising, regional sales to tune vehicles in. And that seems to be working too. We've boosted the percentage points a few there. So that's, yeah, keeping your feet on the ground is important.
Yeah, right. You report to the vice president for design.
Right.
And has that been a harmonious relationship?
Yes. Extremely so.
In the past,
yes.
Especially with the 2 or 3 candidates who might be coming up next, and you work with all of them. So is it an equitable arrangement?
Oh, yeah. It'll work out great.
So finally, what is the future of Advanced Concepts? Do you see it as a going concern? Do you think you'll be here in 20 years?
Yeah, I'm
maybe
sure
we'll.
I'll probably be transferred out, but right now we're just completing negotiations on 22 acres on a bluff overlooking Malibu. We've engaged what I consider to be the best architectural group in the country right now, Arthur Erickson Associates. Erickson, E-R-I-C-K...
S-O-N.
He has four places: Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto. Vancouver's his home, Saudi Arabia, and Los Angeles. And he's just won a prestigious gold medal for life's work, along with Philip Caldwell and Richard Neutra and Frank Lloyd Wright, Corbusier. And what's happening is he means this to be a show place, and we're dead serious about this being a functioning design facility. And as things are working, we've been working on it for year and a half. Those are the blueprints right there. And it seems like if things fall in place, we could be putting the shovel in October.
Fantastic.
And that will establish our presence here, and we'll go on with it.
My gosh, there's 20,000 acres of prime mountain.
No, 22.
Oh,
22. I'm sorry, 22 acres. Did I say 20? No,
no. 22 acres of prime mountain land.
Yeah.
They're still available.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's right next to the ocean. There's a road below us, but it's right near the ocean. Yes. So it's been tough, but we think we're going to make it.
What's in the future for Henry Haga? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
I have no idea. The world will change. The world, according to Garp. Design world will change. Irv's going to retire in 4 months.
Mm-hmm, right.
And
you have two good candidates there. Warren.
Yeah.
Martin, do you consider yourself a candidate?
It's possible. Although I think that the only people who really know that are the executive committee, because they control the whole thing, and they won't make a decision until they feel it's right.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's an honor to be in that list of candidates.
Are you making available?
Well, you know, we all get on. Dave and I are both 55 years old.
That's right.
So, you know, there, GM always does this. They have enough candidates so they don't go dry. You know, Bunky Newton knows that, doesn't he?
He knew why he would be in charge.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you, you're searching for a feeling on this thing. When I left Chevy 3 studio, I really pondered that, because that was the best job that I could have ever had, working on those kinds of cars. Then when I went to Opel, I said, this is the best job I've ever had. I got back for the 3 years back there. That was equally as good, although the Opel experience, I had learned more. But I was able to get input into the system. Now this one is the best job I've ever had. If I were to stay here the rest of my career, I'd love it. So
yeah, I think it might not be a bad idea. Being director of design for the whole corporation turns you into an administrator.
Could be.
I have
fears about that.
You start making budget decisions.
Yes.
You're not really involved in the day-to-day.
Right. And I'm getting a lot of that now.
Yeah,
because we have no backup systems. We're our own entity here. We call Detroit for certain answers to certain specific questions, but we have to pay our own bills and everything else here. So
your own budget.
Yeah.
We're really an entity.
Yeah. So, right. Right. It's a mini business.
Right. Well, thank you, Henry Haga.
Well, thank you.
All the way from Milwaukee to from Norway to Milwaukee to Art Center and on to the GM Tech Center and now.
I believe that to be true, yeah.
Typically, gentlemen, is in the forefront.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.